reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Like to sing together, O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel.
Yeah. Continuing in Luke chapter 2, we find verses 8 to 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Oh,
Next, we would all like to sing, What Child Is This?
Continue with our scriptures reading. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see these things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which has told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Let us sing, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
Spent the week.
Sweet gospel message, isn't it? That's the Christmas time message. You may ask yourself, what is Christmas? Well, Christmas is the celebration of Christians of the incarnation of God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And you might ask yourself, why is it that God became flesh to dwell among us? The darkness of death. Darkness, by definition, is the absence of light. We all know darkness, a dark night, a dark room. Yet the Bible speaks of a darkness darker than a starless night, a darkness within the heart and soul of every man and every woman, the darkness of sin and death, the darkness of separation from God, from light, from life. Death, by definition, is the absence of life, and it is the penalty of sin. God, who created all things, told the first man, Adam, in Genesis chapter 2, "You may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And when Adam took the fruit and ate it, darkness, sin, and death for the first time came into his creation. Paul in Romans chapter 5 says this: just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. We, as sons and daughters of Adam, share in Adam's sin and rebel with him, and we disobey God so that death reigns to this very day. As Paul reminds us elsewhere in Romans, we all have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So we ask, is death, sin, and darkness the end of the story? The light of life. Light, by its very presence, dispels darkness. Darkness cannot abide where light is. Just think of the eastern horizon every morning, how the darkness of night becomes the bright of day as the sun rises. God, in his word, links life and light. The joining of life and life stands forth most clearly in the person of Jesus Christ. God says, in him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. At Christmas time, we celebrate the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel tells Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You see, this child will be unique. Unlike us, he will not share in Adam's sin. He will be holy and live a holy life. In Jesus, light and life has come into the darkness. Now let us talk about the death of darkness. You may ask, why did God send life and light, his son, Jesus Christ, into this world? The answer to this question was proclaimed by the prophet Isaiah centuries before Jesus' birth. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And the angel spoke these words to Joseph: you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus himself said this: for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to die so that we might live. Jesus, out of love and obedience, willingly died upon the cross as a sacrifice for sin. He took darkness and sin and death, and he nailed it to the cross. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 says it this way: God has forgiven all of our trespasses and cleared our record of debt, nailing it to the cross of Christ. The light, Jesus Christ, came into the world to defeat darkness, sin, and death on the cross. The light of life. God's word declares this: the light has come into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness, sin, and death, they were nailed to the cross. But darkness, sin, and death does not have the final word. Jesus declared and demonstrated his victory over the darkness, over the sin, and over the death by rising up from the dead. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 10: I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. He who came and died now lives. And Jesus came to bring light and life. Jesus proclaimed, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. With these words, Jesus offers his life, eternal life, to you. You may ask, what must I do to receive his life, his light. God, in his word, says this: "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Friend, you want life? You want life and light? Take Jesus at his word. You place your life into his hands. You trust his death for the forgiveness of your sins, and you trust him to give you life, and then you love him, and then you worship him, and then you follow him through this life and through death and into life everlasting. Jesus said in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Then, do you know what he says next? He asks you this question: "Do you believe this?" That's the question that lingers in our ears. Do you believe this? Would you believe it? Would you trust him this very evening? We have worshiped him tonight, and we invite you to worship him some more. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, victory over darkness. He is light and life. At this time, I'd ask the deacons to come forward.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sweetly, authentically worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who was born for us, to live for us, to die for us, and to live again. Lord, I pray that everyone will worship him this Christmas. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.